Hello.
Hey, what's up, brother?
Hey, not much. How are you?
Good, man. Good. I would say, I think you were looking what's going on behind me, and I was looking at what's going on behind you. I think you're one of my people. Am I
Yeah,
right?
why is that?
The
What do you got?
action figures and shit. You're
Oh, yeah, I've got some Terminator. I've got some Friday the 13th action figures up there.
Yep. I could spot them a mile away, brother. I can smell
Nice.
them.
I got some obviously some records as well, some Chimera and Ministry and just random band stuff, some books, some band books and whatnot. So yeah, that sort of thing.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Ministry. I love
Yeah.
Uncle Al.
Have you heard the new album?
Yes, I like it.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's grown on me. I've only listened to it twice all the way through, but I do like it. What I like about Ministry is every album can be totally different from the last one because he'll have a different backing band or whatever. But like, yeah, it's interesting because you never know what you're gonna get really with Ministry. So
Yeah, that's true. Al doesn't like to stay in one spot. And then he's got all
yeah.
this other shit that he does. Like, you can't, you can't pit him down. But anyway, man, my name's Nev anyway, dude. I think this is the first time we've met.
Yep, I'm Brendan. Nev. Yeah, good. I was going to confirm your name before we start because I've done a lot of these recently, and just get links with our manager's like, here's a link, here's a join it at this time, and here's a name. I'm like, all right, cool. So
That guy. That's that guy. But
exactly.
hey, Brendan, thanks for joining us on the show, dude. It's been really cool to meet you, especially with this new All This Filth album. It's number three for you guys. Tomorrow Will Be Better. Man, I'm seeing it everywhere. The response is really good. How are you guys feeling that it's, out there in the world now and people are digging it?
I don't know. It's hard to sort of say because I'm glad people are digging it for starters. Like that's always good. You at the end of the day, you really just make something and put it out there and hope that you like it. And then hopefully people can connect with it in some way. So yeah, I'm liking that people like it and that's cool. But it's weird because every interview I've had, they're like, oh, I'm seeing the album everywhere. There's a lot of buzz about it. And I'm getting told this by people like yourself, but I don't necessarily see it because I think I'm in the eye of the storm, so to speak.
Yeah, you're in the bubble.
It's all happening around me and around us, and there's good things happening. So we've been busy, so I haven't really noticed. But I mean, yeah, it's the response so far has been pretty good. So yeah, you can't ask them much more than that, really. It's just that people enjoy what you're doing, really.
Yeah, it's good, man. It's good. There's a really excellent vibe around you guys right now, and I think it's going to continue to build, which is exciting. Especially, you just did the support for Machine Head and Fear Factory and stuff like that. How was that? That would have been sick.
It's surreal, absolutely awesome because I grew up listening to Machine Head and Fear Factory. They're two of my favorite bands of all time, easily in my top five favorite bands of all time. And so I just assumed that they wouldn't have supports this time around because the last couple of times the Machine Head's been to Australia, they've done the evening with Machine
Yeah,
Head, no
3 hours.
support. Three hours, 3.5 hours of just Machine Head. And with both bands headliners in their own rights, I just assumed there'd be no supports. And then 2 weeks before the gig, our manager messages me and he's like, "You got the Machine Head Fear Factory supports." I was like, "Dude, that's not funny. Don't play with me like that." You know what I mean? I'm like, "That's not funny." But he was serious, and so then it was like, "Oh, because we'd just done the album launch show here in Perth in our hometown." And that went really well. And then we sort of were going to take a couple of weeks off. We hadn't really had any plans to come together and rehearse or anything for a bit because it's been hectic. End of last year, start of this year, with all the touring we've been doing has just been hectic. So then we get that news and we're like, oh shit, we need more merch. We need to get together and jam. And then it was all just a blur. Like the next 2 weeks was just announcement. you know, getting up there. And then, like, yeah, it was surreal because, yeah, like I said, I grew up listening to both those bands and I hold them in such high esteem that it was one of those, like, if you'd told, you know, 15-year-old Brendan, like, hey, one day you're going to open for Machine Head and Fear Factory on the same bill, I would have been like, no way, no fucking way, man. Like, firstly, they wouldn't be on the same bill. We're not that lucky here in Australia. Right?
Yeah, that's
We're
right.
Not that lucky. And secondly, there's no way, you know. But it happened. The show went really well. We got a great response from the crowd, you know, which could have gone either way, because, you know, when you open for big bands and then a lot of the crowd, they're just there for those bands and they don't really care about the openers. So a lot of the time, you know, you can't, I've seen them go south. I've seen people like, boo, get off, hurry up, you know?
Yes.
The crowd was really receptive. We did have a few All This Filth fans in the with their repping their ATF merch in the crowd and singing the songs. So that was great to see. And then the people that had never seen us before seemed to get into the songs. And by the end of our set, we're clapping along and jumping around and having a good time. And it was just a fantastic night all around. We got to play in front of like the biggest crowd we've ever played in front of, like, you know, 1,200 people at the Astor Theatre. And then I got to, you know, get off stage and watch two of my favorite bands of all time. Like, you know, hashtag winning, right? Like,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely. Absolutely, man. I've got two of my, well, I got my mates, our Arch Enemy. They're doing Sydney. They did.
Oh,
the
fantastic,
Sydney.
Man. Absolutely fantastic, man.
Yeah.
We played with them when they came over here. Yeah, they're a great band. Really, really big fan of theirs.
Yeah. Good, good dude. Hey, shout out to those boys, Ollie and Wayne.
Yeah.
Fucking love them. Good dudes. Good dudes. But, man, of course, there were we were talking, you know, I was totally with you on that Fear Factory journey, man. Cause you know what? I was there 97, big day out, cause I'm really old. And I was standing in that field with my best mate watching Fear Factory going, this is what I want to do. Like, that was the moment. And it was cool.
Yeah.
The other night, you know, he was there standing with me and I turned and I said, remember in 97 when we were Groms? And now we're watching them again. There's something about it, man. There's definitely something about that band, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah. Like I said, both those bands just, you know, phenomenal. And they're great live as well. They put out great albums that have shaped my personal development as a, you know, vocalist, and also just the band All This Filth. They both of those bands, this they've like shaped what we sound like today. You know, they did, you know, great albums, great live, and they've both got new lineups and they're both still killing it, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, you just, hats off to them. They're just, you know, professionals through and through. So, you know,
I agree, man. I think Milo's doing a great job.
Yeah. Like, I actually haven't seen any bad press on that guy. Like, everyone's just, like, every time I read a review, he's killing it.
Yep.
Saw him live. And, like, you know, if you closed your eyes, it could have been burnt up there. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's killing it. Like, so, yeah, there's nothing more to be said. Do you know that sometimes people can, you know, I mean, like, I'm a fan of the classic lineup. Don't get me wrong. I'm a massive Burton C. Bell fan just in general as well. But you can't fault Milo. He's just killing it. And yeah, end of, really. That's it. He's killing it and they're doing the job. So, you know.
That's right, man. That's right. And you're killing it. As we're
swinging
it back around to All This Filth, of course. I mean, how far back do these songs go?
Well, the songs on this album, it's funny because we started writing this album after the last album, Misery Season, came out in 2019. We tend to do this thing where we're like, we're not going to start writing. And I don't think it's a conscious choice. We just don't start writing until the album that we've just recorded has come out. Do you know what I mean? I don't know whether that's because we're so just creatively drained from the process of recording, writing and recording an album that we're like, let it sit for a bit. But when that came out in 2019, in March of 2019, we basically started writing like a couple weeks later. And then, you know, the pandemic happened, which actually in a way sort of helped us writing because, you know, we had no gigs to play. So we just got into writing mode, really. And we wrote and recorded over that next couple year period. So we tend to record in batches. So we'll write like 3, 4, 5 songs, go record those, and then go away and write another 3, 4, 5 songs, and then go record those. So we don't just go into the studio and try record 10, 11, 12, however many songs. Just because, you know, A, financially, it's just hard because it's expensive. Yep. And B, just I feel like breaking it up sort of, you can focus more on the individual songs than if you tried to record them all at the same time. Yep. So, you know, so yeah, these songs are basically, some of them have been written as far back as 2019. Some of them were written as recently as not last year, but the year before. Because the album finished, we finished recording the album last year. That being said, like there was odds and ends we finished up in the studio, and like, so there was little bits and pieces and keys and samples and what have you that we changed in the studio and what have you. So yeah, so some of them had just finished last year and some of them we'd finished writing in like 2019. So yeah, that you know, span of time.
I do like how you've connected Misery Season and the new one as well. Like the end and the start, like how they connect.
Yeah. Yeah. I, you know, I'm glad you actually noticed that. Some people haven't, you know, and I've spoken about it in interviews that I've done recently, that was deliberately done. It's not something that hasn't been done before. I mean, I basically stole the idea of Hatebreed. Like if you know anything about Hatebreed, they did it on Perseverance into straight into, what was the one? The Rise of Brutality. Straight into it. The outro ended up being the intro to the next album, and they made a song about it, Tear It Down. Great song. But anyways, yeah, I sort of had the idea like that, but also just thematically, that's literally how the album we started writing it was like, you know, the theme of Misery Season was getting through hard times. Like, so Misery Season happens for everyone. It comes and goes like a season does. And that album, which I love the album Misery Season, that was about just a hard time in my life. And like, it ended up being like a concept album about that. So, we finished that album and then it was sort of like, well, what do we do next? And we've got through all of these hard times, you know, where do we go from here? And so that's literally what we wrote this album about, was like, you know, we've survived this, but there's more challenges ahead. The world's still fucked up. I'm still struggling with my own mental health. Where do we go from here? And that's what this album does, is, you know, asks those questions. Whereas Misery Season was describing a situation, this album is asking questions and also describing situations as well. But it's more about what's next and where do we go from here? I mean, yeah, I mean, in a way, it's like, oh, that's kind of brilliant. But in a way, it's kind of like, well, no, that's just obvious. So we just went with the most obvious thing. It's like, what do we do next? I don't know. Let's write an album about what we do next. So, yeah, that's basically it.
But it's more aggressive too. You know?
Okay, yeah, keep going, yeah.
Would you say it's more aggressive? It feels like within the themes and stuff within the album as well. Like it's maybe observational of the world. And
yeah, I would say it's probably, yeah, you might be right. It might be more aggressive. It's definitely an album born out of frustration. So I think there's definitely more frustration in it. Whereas the last album, Misery Season, was a lot more depressive and sort of darkness hanging over it.
Yeah,
this one was definitely like, you know, for fuck's sake, like I'm angry about this, I'm angry about that, I'm frustrated with this situation, that situation, whether it be, like I said, my own mental health, so the battling the demons within, or the demons in the real world, you know, the stuff that everyone has to deal with, because we all live in this world together. And so I guess, you know, those themes can be universal. And I hope, like I said with the last album, I hope people, I take all the negative feelings within me, put it on a CD or, you know, record it, get it out there, and I hope that someone gets something positive out of it. And it's much the same with this album. I hope the same, you know. But yeah, we're coming at it from a different point of view slightly. And yeah, it might be more aggressive. I hadn't really thought about that till you said it. It's like, oh, it's way more aggressive. I'm like, oh yeah, it probably is actually. So it, yeah.
Yeah, just more, yeah. Like lyrically, I think, I don't know. You said it better than I did. That's what I got. That was my interpretation of it anyway. You know, where you said the last album was a bit more reflective. This is more an attack on what the fuck is going on in the world right now. So
yeah, I mean, I'm glad that's what you got from it. I mean, that's sort of what I was setting out to do. So yeah, awesome. But yeah, I mean, it can be interpreted in different ways. And like, you know, I like hearing other people's interpretations of what we're doing. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's interesting. Hadn't really considered it like that. Like, yeah, I don't know. Like now that you mentioned it, I'm like, yeah, it is more aggressive. I hadn't really thought of it. So yeah, cool.
And you know, you signed with Brutal Records as well. How have they supported you with this record and getting it out there?
Well, the idea there was to, we really wanted help getting our music into territories that we hadn't been able to push ourselves into releasing independently. Like you get a little bit of penetration into certain areas, you know, just because you got the internet these days. But again, because of the internet and the way it works, that, you know, every time anyone releases anything, there's just a flood. And you can get swept away in the flood. So you need help getting your music and your art, just art in general. This is for artists in general, of all that, musicians, movies, whatever. You need help getting them in front of the right audiences, in front of the right people at the right time. And, you know, it's an uphill battle trying to do that by yourself. That's not to say it can't be done. It definitely can be. But we just thought, you know, maybe it might be worth getting some help with it this time, because we haven't tried that before. So I figured let's try it, see how it goes. So yeah, I mean, it's funny because I haven't actually like hit up Brutal yet and asked for numbers or anything yet, because I've just been busy doing the, you know, the PR and the press and the interviews and yeah, and promoting the album, which I actually enjoy. I enjoy doing that. I enjoy talking to people like yourself just about music in general. It's enjoyable for me, so I don't mind that. The business side of things, like I do it because I have to. These things, these conversations, I would do it whether I was in a band or not. Like I could have this conversation with you regardless, but the business side of things, I do it because I have to. So like, yeah, I'll you know, we'll get around to the business. But yeah, hopefully it has reached more people. It seems to have done so far. There's more penetration in Europe, and we're getting some reviews from especially Germany for some reason. I think they love metal in Germany, I think. But yeah, so we're getting penetration into different areas, and yeah, hopefully they're well received.
And I do like how you guys blend a lot of like subgenres and things like that. And we were mentioning before, I'm a big fan of industrial metal and industrial music.
Same.
Like Fear Factory and stuff like that was early for me. Ministry, you know, and not many bands draw from a lot of that these days. Is that, you know, you mentioned you grew up on that stuff. What was the real seed of that? Fear Factory, Ministry, what else was in there?
Yeah, Fear Factory was the first one. They were the ones that introduced me to, like, you know, when you first hear Fear Factory, and I didn't even know what industrial music or industrial metal was. I just heard Fear Factory and was like, I like that. That sounds mechanical. I like that. That sounds like robots, like futuristic music, you know. I remember being a kid and thinking this is going to sound ahead of its time forever. It's always going to sound futuristic to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, to this day, I still think it sort of does in a way. And then through Fear Factory, I was introduced to like other industrial metal bands like, you know, Ministry and the like. And then like, you know, later on, you get like Nailbomb, a fucking huge Nailbomb fan. Like, you know, because I was a big Sepultura fan as well. So Max Cavalera doing like groove metal and industrial, I was just like, where do I sign up? And one of my early influences actually was Rammstein as well. They were one of the biggest bands when I was a kid, because I remember being in like, and obviously Slipknot as well, they got a little bit of industrial, but I remember being a kid and like one of my mates come up to me at high school and was like, dude, have you heard of this band Rammstein? There's like six of them and they're from Germany and they like fuck each other with dildos and they like flamethrowers and they sing in German. And I just remember being like a kid and being like, where do I sign up? Oh, like, show me this band. Yeah, and it was the same with Slipknot. Same guy was like, dude, you heard of this band Slipknot? They all wear masks. One of them has a dildo in his face and they smash into each other and there's like 10 of them. And I was like, holy crap, what do I say? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
when Yeah, when that's how you used to discover bands, was somebody would tell you something about it, and then you'd be like straight down to the CD store or whatever. And yeah, I mean, so yeah, Rammstein, Ministry, Fear Factory, Nail Bomb, you know, Chimera later on. I loved, well, still do love Chimera, because I felt like that was taking the industrial metal of sort of Fear Factory and Ministry and merging it with the groove metal of like Sepultura and Machine Head. And I was like, you put that together, and I was like, that's Chimera. And I was like, oh, that's what I want to do. I said, because it's metal and it's industrial and it's like coming together in all the good places, you know? So yeah, that, you know, gets me excited.
Do you fuck with stuff like Helm Christ and Frontline Assembly and...
Yeah, a little bit. There are bands, like, I wouldn't say have extensive collections of like Combi Christ and Frontline Assembly, but also KMFDM as well. Oh. There's so many out there that are great. I can't even think of them off the top of my head, and I feel bad, like, you know. But like, there's also some great local industrial bands as well. There's one over here in Perth, one man band called Von Spriggan. So check him out if you get a chance. It's a great one man industrial band. He actually opened our album launch recently. It was his first live show.
Yeah, sick.
And there's one in Melbourne called Knife. They're fantastic. They're a fantastic industrial band. And obviously Our Last Enemy and Witchgrinder as well.
Oh yeah, the Witchgrinder boys as well. Shout out.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's some good industrial tint. That's my favorite type of metal, is industrial metal, or industrial tinged metal. It's just, that's got those dark mechanical elements that just make it like, yeah, that hits my spot, you know?
I'm with you. See?
Yeah.
Who we'd be pals. Yeah, I fucking love that.
Exactly. We're good. Yeah. We're good. Hey, hit me up. Send me some more bands, like, because I'm always looking for them. So, yeah.
What about, like, the newer stuff? Like, do you get into Health and King Joseph?
I haven't heard King Joseph. Health, I've heard bits and pieces, and I like what I've heard. Like, I think I need to deep dive on them, because I feel like there's, much like Ministry, there's stuff where I'm like, I think I need to listen to albums start to finish, because there's the more metallic side of Health, and then there's just a straight up electronic industrial side as well, which, when you're just hearing a couple of those songs in a playlist, you're like, but I reckon if you hear it in an album, much like Ministry, you're like, holy shit, all of that makes sense. And that's brilliant. I like, if you're talking about newer industrial bands as well, Three Teeth is a really good one from California. They're fantastic, man. I love them. They had an album out last year called Endex, which was fucking awesome. And they did some songs with Mick Gordon, which is the guy who does the Doom soundtracks.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool as well. I only recently found that out. I was just like, I remember seeing like, who's Mick Gordon? And it just hadn't dawned on me. And then actually Von Spriggan told me, he's like, that's a guy who does a Doom. And I was like, holy shit. You know, Three Teeth, they do some wicked covers as well. That Pumped Up Kicks cover they do is awesome. Really good. And just great music unto their own as well. Great, great industrial metal band.
Man, that last Health album, Rat Wars, was my favorite album of last year. I call it my sad boy shit. I talk to my mates, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get in my car, I'm going to listen to my sad boy shit. I fucking love that band. Like, you know, so as you mentioned before, sometimes you got to find your in, and then once you're in, you're like obsessed.
Yeah.
So
that's funny, because I was gonna buy that album, but at the time I think I fucking went and listened to like some Godflesh, like another industrial band.
Yes. Yeah.
And Godflesh do weird things to me, man. Like, if I hear one or two Godflesh songs, I'm like, fuck yeah. But if I listen to an album, by the end of it, I'm so emotionally drained and just depressed. I'm just like, oh my God, I want to end it now. Because, like, I remember I used to try and listen to them on the way to work in the morning, and it's just the worst thing you could do, because you're just like, I'm fucking heading to work in an industrial area or whatever in the factory when I was working back then. I was just like, fuck my life, you know, like, this is bleak, man.
Roderick. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I'm all about industrial metal, industrial music, but not so much industrial areas. Like that's what I figured. It was the job that was making me depressed, but the Godflesh certainly wasn't helping the situation. But that's what they're about, and I like that about them. Like, if you're in the mood, that's the shit you want to like put on, you know?
But on another band, you opened for Power Man 5000 as well, right?
Yeah, that was killer. Yeah.
Didn't love that band, like, so much.
Yeah, they actually, yeah, now that you brought them up, I was like, they're on the sort of more disco-y, dancier side of things, much like Static X, which is another
Yes.
band I'm massive on. I love Static X, but Power Man was a great gig. Is at the Rosemount over here, and that was sort of our until Machine Head and Fear Factory the other week, last weekend. Power Man was probably our biggest supporting slot we'd landed, and yeah, I actually got to meet oh, what's his name?
Spider.
Spider, that's it. I got to meet Benny and I from Benny, our bassist slash keyboardist, got to meet him after the show, and he was really nice, like just a really down to earth sort of. And like, I really appreciated that after the show, like, we were all hanging out in the car park, as you do after shows. That's just what we do, car parks and alleyways. And we were hanging out, and they were about to leave, and he stayed and he took photos with every single person who was there, and he made sure before he left is that everyone got a photo, everyone all good. And I just thought that's how you do it. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's massive respect, because you know, you figure the guy's been doing it, you know, what, 30 odd years now or something, and you figure that maybe he's a big rock star, you know, Rob Zombie's brother, and you're thinking, oh, he's just gonna fob everyone off. But he stayed and spoke to literally every single person that waited around. And I was just like, massive respect for him. And they put on a killer show to boot. Like, you couldn't really fault him. Like, absolutely great show, you know, absolute, again, professionals, you know.
I got to work out that night and I don't work out. So
Yeah.
I was in the pit doing that one.
Awesome.
It was good, man. It was good. That was in Brisbane. It was a good one. But
Oh,
hey,
are you based in Brisbane, are you?
but I'm on the Goldie. I'm on the Gold
Oh,
Coast.
cool, yeah, cool.
So, but I'm kind of in between. So but you were here, Brisbane, not long
Yeah,
ago, right?
recently.
January.
Yeah,
And I couldn't make that gig.
January. You want that, sorry?
I couldn't make the gig. It was like the punk and metal.
Yeah, Monk and Pedal Festival. It was like 6th of January or something, like a couple of days after New Year's. It was it was pretty hectic, because we had a really hectic closing to last year, because we were in Victoria late November last year after doing a festival in the Southern Cross, which is like rural WA, like in inland, like mining desert sort of area. We did a festival there, and then flew across in November to Victoria for Killfest. So we did Kilmore, which was Killfest, and we did a couple of side shows around that. Got back for that literally that week. We had our Christmas show here back in Perth, and then like 3 weeks later we were on a plane again to Brisbane for Monk and Pedal Festival, which was awesome. Met some great bands. It was a great festival. And then we played Redcliffe the day after at Tribe Clubhouse, which was like festival, and then we went and played in this tiny little like cafe clubhouse thing, which was cool. I liked Redcliffe. It was a cool experience. So yeah, I really enjoyed playing in Queensland, actually. Everyone was super friendly. Like, that's what I took away from it, was all the bands, everyone was super friendly in Queensland. So yeah, I enjoyed it.
Are you coming back? You got plans to come back?
Well, yeah, no, we have intentions. Do we have plans? Nothing set in stone, but we want to. Like, we are trying to make it happen. Like, so any promoters out there who want to bring us over, hit us up. We are keen as to get just to the East Coast, anywhere really. We'll play, you know, because we want to promote the album, and I love touring. You know, that's what I want to do. This is what I want to do. I want to talk about metal with people like yourself. I want to go out there and play shows and meet people like us. You know what I mean? I want to talk music, and I just want to play shows. That's all I want to do with my life. So help us make that happen, and we'll come play your town, you know, if anyone's keen. So we definitely want to head back to Queensland, because we had such a great time there. You know, we haven't been to New South Wales since before the pandemic. We were there early 2020, when the pandemic was just before they closed the borders. We got back just as they were closing the borders, so that was lucky. So yeah, we haven't been to New South Wales for a while, but yeah, we were in Queensland and Victoria recently, and we just want to go back. We just want to keep playing and, you know, meeting new people and introducing our music to new fans.
If you want to play the Gold Coast, brother, hit me up. I'm in a band called Snake Mountain.
Oh, no way. I just followed your band recently.
Ah, oh, did you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just the other day. It came up as a suggestion. I was like, Snake Mountain, eh? Yeah, cool.
Yeah, we're a weird sort of nerdy, melodic tech death band from here. But
awesome.
We're doing the opposite. We're trying to get the fuck out of Queensland. We're like going other places. We played Wollongong in Feb. Like a one-off.
Oh, nice.
Hong Kong drove down, blew a tire, drove back. And then just doing all the other. Regional seems to be cool at the moment, man. I don't know if you're seeing that from where you are, but regional seems to be the go.
Well, technically, Perth is regional from everywhere, really, when you think about it. You know, we're so far, most isolated capital city in the world. Proud to be from Perth. But, yeah, I mean, when we went to Victoria, we played Kilmore, which is regional Victoria, and that was fantastic. That was a festival. Yeah, like I said, we've done a few regional shows. They were pretty good. So, yeah. But if you ever want to come to WA, hit me up, man. I'll easily set up the shows. Like, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, stay in contact and we'll make it happen. Like, it's no skin off my nose. I've been booking shows in WA's, you know, 16, 17 years now. So, yeah, why not?
Vice versa, dude. If you want to come play the goalie, let's do it.
We'll do. I'll add you on Facebook and I'll have my people, which is me, call your people, which is you.
Which is me. Yeah, because I'm talking about the business stuff before.
Yeah.
That's me doing all that stuff.
Yeah, same.
It's like,
yeah.
Oh, it sucks. But hey, it's a means to an end, man. You gotta do it. You gotta do that sort of thing. But are you looking at going overseas? Is that the next step for you guys?
Yeah. Well, we have a European booking agent at the moment. And to be honest, the only thing that's stopping us is funds. It's so expensive to even just to go to the East Coast from Perth is massively expensive. And overseas is just a whole other level of that. So, but I mean, we're looking to do it for sure. As soon as we can, you know, financially make it happen, we're keen to do that. Maybe we'll hit up some grants or something. I'm not sure. Nothing set in stone yet, but it's definitely on the to-do list for sure.
That's a good idea. It's a real good idea. I thought about doing a car wash.
Yeah.
Like get it or the Bunnings sausage sizzle. You know, so Bunnings, all the old ladies that come by and they're like, what do you raise the money for? It's like, we want to go on tour. We're a death metal band. They're like, ugh.
Yeah, exactly. You got to do what you got to do to pay the bills. You know what I mean? So yeah, why not?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. But hey man, it's been really cool hanging out with you. Thanks for taking the time to chat on the show.
No worries. It's been great. I'm having fun. So yeah. It's good to meet you, and let's do it again sometime. I'm always keen.
Yeah, that'd be sick, man. Well, in the meantime, though, I'll have all the links on the website and in the show notes down here. Brendan, take care of yourself, man, and let's have a beer soon.
Oh, yeah, cheers.
I'm having a water.
it's all liquid one way or the other, you know what I mean? Like, what you're drinking is hard. It's reality juice.
It is.
Doesn't get much harder than life. So, I mean, you know, you're on the hard stuff. I'm taking the easy way out.
Man, I tell you what, tomorrow's jam night. So that's the beer night.
Fair call.
Hey, man, I'll see you soon, brother. Thank you.
All right. Take care, man. Nice to meet you. Thanks for chatting.
Yeah.